I'd like to welcome you all to the meeting of the Research and Innovation Committee. This meeting is being conducted in person and through video conferencing communications pursuant to Public Act 101-0640, enacted June 12, 2020, in Section 7E of the Illinois Open Meetings Act, allowing virtual board meetings during a disaster declaration relating to public health concerns. As vice chair of this committee, I have determined that an in-person meeting is not practical or prudent because of the disaster. As such, trustees may attend today's meeting by audio and video conferencing and not be physically present. Jessica, it's nice to see you. Congratulations on the birth of your daughter. And now, would you like to call the roll? Are you awake?
Thank you so much for that warm welcome back. Committee Vice Chair Appas?
Here.
Trustee Dennis Barsema?
Here.
Trustee John Butler?
Here.
Trustee Montel Gale?
Here.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Here.
Trustee Jacob Sumner? Board Chair Eric Wasilik?
Here.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrera?
Thank you. Now I would like, Mr. Perry, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good morning, Madam Chair. You do have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda of today's meeting? And I would like to make a note that the correct date of the next ASAP meeting is May 12th, not May 15th. And Jessica, will you call the roll for a vote on the agenda?
Committee Vice Chair Appas?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsema?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Point of order. Did we have a motion?
We have a motion.
We need a motion. We need a motion.
Could I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved. Montel.
Second and Wasowitz. How's that?
Thank you. Jessica, will you please call the roll?
Sure. Committee Vice Chair Appas?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsema?
Still yes.
Trustee John Butler?
I'm also a still yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
For the first time, yes.
Trustee Jacob Sumner? Board Chair Eric Wasilik?
Yes.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrera?
The vote of the agenda is approved. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is why you are the chairman. Review and approval of minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of August 22nd, 2021 and November 11th, 2021? Have a motion?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second, Butler.
Jessica, would you please call the roll?
Committee Vice Chair Appas?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsema?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Jacob Sumner? Board Chair Eric Wasilik?
Yes.
Committee Chair Veronica Herrera?
Thank you. The minutes are approved. I just have a few comments that I'd like to make. I have been in the seat for a little while as the chair, and I'm pleased to be back. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the faculty and staff on their continuous scholarly productivity. As you can see, when we look at the Sponsored Programs Administration quarterly report, we continue, despite the fact that we've been in the pandemic for 2 years, to the external funding across the university grow. And this was really evident this morning when we saw Dr. Dodd's presentation and the things we're talking about. Pleased to announce that funding for the first two quarters in FY22 reached $22 million, up from $15 million in FY21, which represents a 47% increase. I understand that external funding has already exceeded $32 million in the third quarter. Although all the components of the portfolio are growing, We have been especially, we have seen especially strong growth in instruction, specifically the College of Education and the College of Liberal Arts and Liberal Arts. You know, this is one of the areas that has been clear that we have extreme special interest in, especially with the way students have been struggling. So I really appreciate the fact that we are looking at this in more detail. COVID-19 has had a significant impact on Illinois students and educators, and the abrupt changes of in-person schooling have led to delayed and unfinished learning in the classroom and have taken a toll on social and emotional well-being, with a disproportionate impact on students from historically and currently underserved and under-resourced communities. The Illinois Tutoring Initiative, led by the College of Education, Dean Eilis Piper, and totaling $3.4 million, targets specific school districts identified using an equity analysis to address the academic needs of students in grades 3 to 4 in reading and math. And I think we've all seen the data and heard the reports of this impact on students. So the fact that we are stepping up to this is really encouraging. I'm also pleased to inform the board of another program focusing on education and equity, led by Dr. Nicole Ladu, with collaboration from the College of Liberal Arts and Science and the College of Education. They received a prestigious $1.4 million National Science Foundation NOICE grant in STEM science education, focused on enhancing science education in high-needs school districts in the region. Again, we've all talked about the need for low income and students of high need to be in STEM-based curriculum. So again, is a good idea. Through partnerships with Waubonsie Community College, a regional Hispanic-serving community college, and Rest Aurora High School, a high-need school district, the program will provide science teacher candidates with early teaching experiences, mentorship from teachers of color, cohort clinical experience in a diverse school, and enhanced curriculum to learn how to build culturally relevant lessons and social support as new teachers in high school districts. It's wonderful to see our university contributing to education equity in the community and the pandemic recovery. And I'd also like to take note of the recently announced university goals around transdisciplinary research and scholarship. Again, I think with our presentation this morning, we saw how there's a theme that's in everything that we've been doing. At the State of University address, Provost Ingrams was charged by the president to develop a plan for investing in transdisciplinary initiatives in 4 areas: social, racial, and ethnic disparities, environmental justice, STEM education, and artificial intelligence and machine learning. These areas are well aligned with our mission and vision. Given all that, and where we're at, I would like to proceed with the agenda. Again, I can't emphasize enough how just going through that, and I got that late last night, but how encouraging it is to see what we are doing in research, which I think is an innovation. The ability to be able to talk about that for a few minutes at the meeting. And now, I would like to recognize the members of the University Advisory Committee representing our Research and Innovation Legal and Legislative Committee. Do any of you have any comments for the board? Hearing none. Mr. Perry, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with the state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Madam Chair, we have no public comment.
Thank you. At this point, I'd like to ask Vice President for Research and Innovation Partnerships, Dr. Jerry Blasey, for new items.
Thank you, Chairwoman Pathis. Thank you for filling in on such short notice. rest of the board. I have a few items I'd like to bring to the board's attention. First, I'd like to give you a brief update on the status of NICS. Faculty remain highly engaged with nearly a dozen research projects underway and regular meetings where we exchange news, ideas, and results. A special note, Dr. Courtney Gallagher has been appointed Sustainability Coordinator and is focused presently on our greenhouse gas inventory. I've just received the first draft this week, and we're looking forward to use it to guide our sustainability efforts as part of NICS and the university at large. Unfortunately, state funding has not yet been released, but we continue to strongly advocate for the release and have made contact with the governor's office directly through the NIU caucus and our state legislators. And I'd like to thank Katie Davison, who you'll be hearing from shortly, for her hard work on this matter. Just 2 weeks ago today, Lieutenant Governor Stratton joined Illinois Innovation Network Council meeting and showed her strong support for the network. And I'll just give you a brief quote of the Lieutenant Governor's. At the end of her comments, she stated, "Rest assured that the governor's office has taken note of the IIN and your voices. We see the immense value you can bring to the state of Illinois, and we continue to look for ways to partner with you. I look forward to seeing all hubs in full operation." So I think that's about as good as it gets from the governor's office. And the lieutenant governor will be joining the IIN council as an ex officio member forward, and we look forward to keeping the governor's office aware of our activities. Second, and adding to the chair's comments about equity and inclusion, last year NIU was selected as one of 38 finalists to compete for a $2.5 million grant opportunity from the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. We made it to the first round. It's quite an achievement, as about one out of three submissions were accepted in the first round. The Driving Change Initiative is focused on the cultural change necessary to promote diversity in the STEM fields, especially with respect to graduate degrees. So it's an effort to change the culture, to encourage underrepresented individuals to stay in the STEM fields and earn graduate degrees. The first stage of the Driving Change Initiative was to conduct a self-study, addressing a series of questions related to NIU's history and commitment to equity and inclusion for underrepresented STEM students. I've been working on the initiative, led by Dr. Leslie Matusiewicz, who's here. If you have any questions about the initiative, they completed the self-study and are currently moving into the proposal phase with the support of the provost, RIPS, and the College of Liberal Arts and Science. The Driving Change Initiative is a really exciting grant activity, builds upon the success of other STEM-related grants NIU faculty have secured, one of which you just heard about earlier, the NOICE grant, to support underrepresented students succeed in STEM fields of study. Okay. As for the final two items, I'd like to bring the board's attention to recently released survey and a recently released classification reflecting on our national profile. The National Science Foundation Higher Education Research and Development Survey, the HERD survey, is released each year and provides information on the research expenditures at all universities across the country. As we've discussed in the past, expenditures not the only measure of success, but it is widely used as a benchmark. Survey covers all disciplines, including science, engineering, humanities, business, education, law, and the visual and performing arts. So it's very inclusive. Excuse me. Assistant Vice President Dara Little leads the task force, and that reports the HERD's results. It's a big job, and I would like to thank her and thank her team. And she's here if you have questions on that, on the HERD survey. So at the highest level, for 2020, NIU expenditures were $25.4 million, which ranks 253rd out of 910 institutions listed, or in the top 28%. And what's very notable about this, these statistics have remained stable throughout the pandemic. In 2019, our expenditures were slightly higher at $26.6 million, as was the rank of 251 out of 914. And this just shows the strength and the stability of the funding through the pandemic, highlights the excellence and the breadth of the NIU research portfolio, and the perseverance and dedication of our faculty and staff. I say it every time, I can't say it enough, but everybody's working really hard through a very difficult time. One word on breadth of the program, I won't go into any details, but the distribution of our research funding crosses many, many disciplines. Something you do not see at our peer institutions in Illinois. They tend to have very focused research or sponsored funding programs, but ours spans the STEM fields, the humanities, and engineering. Finally, the Carnegie Classification of Institutes of Higher Education released a reclassification the first of this month. They do it about every 2 to 3 years. I'm happy to report NIU retained its classification of doctoral research by research activity, or in the older language you might be familiar with, an R2. Besides R&D funding, other important inputs are the number of terminal degrees and the number of research staff. So what really goes into that classification is expenditures, terminal degrees, and research staff. Given the stability of our funding and our terminal degrees awarded every year, our continued R2 status comes as no surprise, but it is very welcome nonetheless. So those conclude my comments. I'm certainly happy to take questions. And as I said, Dr. Busiewicz and Dara Little are in the audience if you have questions on HHMI or on her survey.
Are there any questions? I'm
curious about the process of classification, and how often that happens.
Yeah, so it's something like every 3 years, but it's not actually regular. I think I've seen 2 reclassifications since I've been VP of research. It's handled by a nonprofit that's an Indiana university.
I think the American Council on Education is taking over the Carnegie classification.
So once a VPR, always a VPR. it occurs frequently, but sort of irregularly.
And is it always a surprise, or do we ask for lots of information?
So they use 2 sets of, they collect the data. The two major sets of data are the HERD survey and IPEDS, which has all the student information. But they collect other, I can really go into this in depth. They collect about 40 metrics. They use some complicated mathematical approach to set up the classification.
Do you know
what?
Do you know what is happening?
Sort of, yeah. I don't think they make an official announcement when they're going to reclassify, but they do share the reclassification with you to ask if you see
issues.
Okay. We got an embargoed notice a couple months ago, asked to confirm some information, and then they released it the first of the month.
I think it's just a
terrific
news. To who we are as an institution, and obviously the board's talked about these issues, not issues, but these matters often. So, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Do we have any data, Dr. Blasey, on the increase that are entering? You know, with our increased emphasis, though it's always been there, on inclusivity, I wondered if there is
the changing.
Yeah, if we've seen more increased students into selected disciplines.
So it's pretty stable. The demographics and the STEM fields are pretty stable, and frankly, they're not good in terms of both gender and racial makeup. And that's why, for instance, we're getting involved with the HHMI, because you just have to change the culture so that the students start feeling more comfortable. So I would say that the demographics have been very stable, disappointingly stable for many years. Mm-hmm. Unless you take on these initiatives that really change the equation for that.
And then maybe at a later date, I'd love to hear more about that initiative. I think the board as we go forward, it's an area of emphasis for us, so we'd like to see how that is having an impact. Okay, now we're going to move to our university reports, and we will hear from Katie Davidson on the state legislature.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. First, I just want to make sure everyone can hear me okay from the chambers. If Trustee Affis, if you want to just...
What?
I'm seeing a lot of heads shaking yes, so I think we're okay.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to present a supplemental oral report to the written report you have before you, and to do so remotely from my office here in Springfield. As you all are well aware, governmental relations issues and priorities can change on a daily basis. Today is no exception. Just yesterday, I had a very productive conversation with the governor's office and discussed the need for the governor to visit NIU, pointing out that he's not been to NIU since being elected governor. Additionally, we discussed the release of the funding for the Northern Illinois Center for Community Sustainability, NICS, where I was assured that the project is very much a priority for the governor, and they are strategizing a rollout plan for the release of all of the remaining hubs who, like us, have yet to receive their funding. I stress the importance of the prioritization of this funding for the preservation of existing partner relationships and the cultivation of new relationships. Deputy Governor Torres understood our concerns and offered to speak directly with trustees further. Our conversation yesterday yielded a follow-up conversation with the Deputy Governor Torres regarding this morning with Deputy Governor Torres regarding a planned visit by the governor in March. At his visit, the governor will be amplifying his proposed budget that was released last week, and he would like to meet with leadership and students at NIU. This is hot off the press and very early in the planning stages, obviously, but I've been given the okay to share, so you are all the second to hear this news, as I've only had the opportunity to share it with President Freeman. At the moment, I don't believe that this will be a NICS announcement, but I will continue to be relentless in my pursuit of accelerating that release. We're halfway through the spring session, and legislation is moving swiftly. We're currently tracking nearly 250 bills related to higher education. The themes we're seeing are around student debt assistance and college affordability. As I mentioned earlier, last week, the governor gave his fiscal year 23 budget address. Under the governor's proposed budget, NIU would see a 5% increase for fiscal year 23. Also proposed by the governor was a 5% supplemental budget increase for the current fiscal year that would need to be passed separately from the fiscal year 23 budget. If the FY22 supplemental budget gets passed, the additional FY22 5% would need to be spent down by the end of this fiscal year, June 30th, 2022. Under the governor's proposed budget, MAP will see a total increase of $122 million, allowing for it to serve 6,400 additional degree-seeking low-income students in Illinois. Based on the current volume and enrollment numbers, the addition will allow an increase to an average MAP grant size by 20%. In the governor's proposed budget, AIM High will receive level funding of $35 million, allowing for continued funding of our custody pledge program. The governor's proposed fiscal year 23 capital budget reappropriates all funding that's been enacted and unexpended for fiscal year 2022. There are no new capital projects, only reappropriations from Rebuild Illinois. This includes the Health IT building and NICS. We're grateful for the governor's demonstrated investment in higher education in Illinois. We hope that this year puts us back on the path for stable, reliable funding from the state. Despite a near entirely remote legislative session, We've had several productive meetings with legislators to work with them on their bills. One bill in particular would have required the university to create a new position to assist with the navigation of student support services. Thanks to the district meetings that Dr. Shrug and I had late in the summer, I was able to reach out to the legislator directly to talk to him about our concerns with the bill, which then led to a meeting with all of the public university liaisons. We provided the legislator input on the bill, and as a result, he modified his language to get to the intent of serving students without duplication of services or requiring us to create a new position at the university. Taking the information we learned from the student input process being led by Provost Ingram, I believe we continue to be a leader in this area and provide helpful input for our colleagues around the state to support the successful navigation for students to ensure academic success. I continue to work closely with Assistant Vice President for Federal Relations, Dr. Kreider, on federal and state relations. We're monitoring the rollout of the federal infrastructure bill to the states, learning with our APLU colleagues around the country, and working closely with Chief Engagement Officer Dr. Sonas and colleagues on campus to explore opportunities for the DeKalb region. In the coming months, I plan to begin meeting with state and IDOT officials to learn more about how the federal dollars are being allocated to the states and how we can best position ourselves and the region for infrastructure opportunities. On January 21st, President Freeman was joined by U of I President Tim Kleen to address the NIU and U of I caucuses in a joint presentation on investing in higher education. The event was well attended by over 25 legislators with good representation from both caucuses. President Freeman will address the Higher Education Appropriations Committee on Thursday, February 17th, where we will be requesting $98.63 million for fiscal year 23 operations, the level of funding that was approved by the Board of Trustees. We will also be asking for the reappropriation of the $15 million in funding for NICS and the $77 million for the Health IT building that was included in the Rebuild Illinois program. Out of an abundance of caution, and because these decisions must be made in advance and without any real knowledge of what the future holds, nearly all of the planned in-person events in Springfield have either been canceled or moved to a virtual platform. Virtual meetings with advocacy volunteers and alumni will be scheduled with legislators in early March in place of the NIU Advocacy Day. NIU still plans to bring a small delegation to Springfield for leadership meetings, but all in-person formal events have been canceled. Thank you for the additional time this morning. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer those now.
Just a friendly reminder, we've heard that people remote cannot hear comments from the board, so I would ask you to please be sure to speak into the mic.
Before I open it for questions from everyone else, I first of all wanted to congratulate you, Katie, on our potential visit with the governor. It would be great to have him here on campus and be able to show him all the things that we've been doing. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but have you gotten any reaction from the legislature on the governor's proposed increase in budget for Illinois universities?
Yes, we have heard some early remarks that there is support for the governor's increase. As you know, they do hold a supermajority, the Democrats do hold a supermajority. And have been primarily in support of the governor's proposed budget.
Are there other questions for Katie?
Just more of a comment. You know, I'm really concerned about not necessarily the new building, but our existing inventory. If there's going to be a greater emphasis placed on maintaining of existing facilities. I didn't hear any talk about that. It's more towards the new building.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
Please make sure that you speak into the microphone. And the other challenge is when you turn your head, the microphone isn't picking up. So just be cognizant of that. Thank you.
Would you like to repeat the question?
Yeah, what I mentioned earlier was I didn't hear much talk about the maintaining of buildings, the dollars associated with ensuring some of our buildings that the stock has not been improved or maintained in over 50 years of some sort. Is there a focus being placed on those types of facilities.
Yes, absolutely. Deferred maintenance is on our legislative agenda as we speak with legislators and we make our funding requests.
It would be great, too, if we could, during the tour that we have with the governor, I want to show him all the great stuff, but I would love to show him the things that we also need work on.
And Trustee Gales, I think we'll be hearing a little bit more about that side of capital development in FACFO this afternoon, so thank you for setting up John's presentation so well.
Are there any additional questions?
Rita?
Trustee Pritchard?
I see you've got planned receptions with the Latino Caucus and the Black Caucus, and I congratulate you for arranging that. Is that actually going to happen with all the COVID disruption?
Unfortunately not. That, along with the higher education, Illinois Public Higher Education reception, those events have all been canceled. As I mentioned, we are bringing a small delegation down, and I hope to make some of those connections during that time with leadership. We've also had some discussions with our colleagues at the other institutions about some later in the summer sessions outside of session. So to continue to build those relationships, not necessarily, you know, those wouldn't necessarily be strong advocacy events, but they are definitely for strengthening those ties and relationships with both of those offices.
Have you heard anything from the legislative leaders about a response to the governor's announcement of removing masks on February 28th? Is that going to change the legislative calendar?
That's a great question. As you're mentioning, the governor made the announcement yesterday at a press release at noon, and I think everyone is sort of trying right now, including NIU, to make their develop their positions on what that looks like. I've not heard anything just yet about how that's going to impact in-person session, though I know that they are all very eager, many are very eager to get back into Springfield to have in-person meetings, especially when it comes to those committee hearings. I know I've heard a number of times just folks expressing challenges and difficulties with participating virtually in the committee meetings. So I don't know just yet, but I anticipate us learning a lot about that very quickly here.
Well, I want to congratulate you on your persistence and encourage you to continue it.
And Katie, in those 250 bills that you're tracking right now, has there been any attempt or any mention of looking at academic teaching? You know, I know that in other states that's been an issue. I'm assuming in Illinois it is not, but you know what they say about assumptions. So I just wanted to see if there was anything in those 250 bills.
Are you referring to instruction or teacher pipeline?
Instruction, the type of instruction.
Oh, the type of instruction. Mm-hmm. There are a number of bills, and I don't know, I can't point to anything specifically about mm-hmm. the type of instruction necessarily. I know that there are a lot of bills that we're tracking alongside the Dean of Education, Laurie Elge Piper, about the impact of the different ways of accreditation and licensure and things like that. But I don't think I'm addressing your question exactly, unfortunately.
Dr. Butler?
I think you're referring to the sort of movement across the country to pass legislation that impacts what's actually taught in courses, is that
yes,
what you're referring
to?
Yes,
that's what I'm referring to, Trustee Butler.
Okay.
I needed
okay.
you to clarify.
I get what you're asking now. No, we are not hearing anything just yet that actually has any type of traction. If we're talking about critical race theory or anything like that, we've not heard anything just yet on that.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Katie, thank you very much for that report.
Thank you.
Next item on our agenda, item 7B, is our federal legislative report, and that will be given by Dr. Anna Quiter. Anna? See her picture.
Anna, you may be on mute.
We just hold for a minute here. We'll reach out.
It looks like she may have lost connection with another man. Would be probably one man. Thanks, everybody.
Things were simple.
Can we go to another?
Yes. While we're waiting, we'll move to information item 7C, Sponsored Programs Administration Quarterly Report and a written report. Are there any questions or discussions? We've talked about that a little bit in the opening comments and on some of the things that we've been hearing about today, but are there any specific questions on this report?
Sorry to interrupt, Trustee. Anna is coming through. She had a computer freeze and shut down, but I believe she is now on her phone and ready to go. Yes.
All right.
Welcome, Hello. Dr. Quiter.
So sorry about that. I honestly don't know what happened. My computer is completely frozen right now, so I'm on my phone.
Okay, well, we're ready for you and anxious to hear your comments on the federal legislative report.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me here today. Sorry for this unexpected technical hiccup. But so today my remarks will include a brief update on the administration and current federal legislation and appropriations. And as usual, I'm going to draw from the quarterly report as well as recent events. So I'll start with the judicial branch, which I don't usually report on. But the Supreme Court, Justice Breyer, has just announced his retirement. Therefore, the administration and the Senate are ramping up the Supreme Court nomination process, and this process is going to take up a fair bit of attention and time in the Senate in the coming months. So that will have an impact on the speed with which legislation can move through the Senate as they're focused on the judicial process, the judicial nominee.
Uh-oh. No, the phone's frozen.
That's definitely a frozen picture.
Yeah, it might be her network, her house or her wherever she's at. That's a little bit sort of the cell network.
It looks like Anna's phone might have frozen, so I'm going to work with her and see if I can just get her to call in to verbally do the report. Give me one second.
Yeah, or turn off her video.
We'll wait just a few more minutes, and if not, Dr. Blasey can fill in on her comments.
Okay. It's the world we live in now. We all have to be a lot more flexible.
That's true.
Everybody take a deep breath. Gives me a chance to read her report a little.
I'm so sorry. I have no idea what's going on here. Okay, I'll turn my video off. Thank you.
Come here.
Okay.
We hear you loud and clear now.
Okay, you got me. All right, well, you know what I look like, so I'll keep the video off. Did you hear me? Where did I leave off from your end?
You had just finished the judicial nomination.
Oh, okay, great. So turning to the administration, I had previously reported that President Biden issued an executive order which requires that employees of federal contractors become fully vaccinated for COVID-19. This order was ultimately halted by the U.S. Supreme Court, and the administration has paused its efforts to mandate COVID-19 vaccination for federal contractors. In January of this year, the White House released guidance to federal agencies regarding implementing steps to mitigate national security risks for federally funded research. Federal agencies are working through the guidance and its implications, as are NIU and our peer institutions and associations. And I would just add that this also, this builds upon congressional efforts to introduce more regulation around the research and the national security risks of research. As a quick update on the implementation of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the Biden administration has established the website build.gov to help the nation identify opportunities under this legislation. The Biden administration estimates that about 60% of the $1.2 trillion in the bill will be allocated through formula programs, and those typically direct funds directly to state and local governments. Federal Relations is supporting Chief Engagement Officer Dr. Posadas and Director of State Relations Davison and our colleagues on campus who are exploring opportunities under this legislation. Turning to a legislative update, the House of Representatives passed the America Competes Act of 2022 last week. Congressman Kinzinger, who represents NIU, was the lone Republican vote in favor of this bill. This bill is the House counterpart to the Senate bill entitled the U.S. Innovation and Competition Act, which passed the Senate last year. These bills would set policy for key research agencies such as the National Science Foundation, Department of Energy Office of Science, NASA, and NIST, as well as increased domestic manufacturing capabilities in key technical industries. As I previously reported to the board, NIU has been engaged in the development of this legislation for over 2 years, and we are engaged in the conference process to promote policies that would strengthen science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education and research at NIU. The conference negotiations are expected to take place over the coming months. Also, a quick update on the Build Back Better Act. The House passed their $2.2 trillion version of this bill in November. There is not sufficient support in the Senate to pass the House version of the bill. Negotiations between the Senate and the White House are on the back burner at the moment, and it is unclear when or if this legislation will pass Congress and be signed into law. Turning to appropriations, Congress continues to work its way through the fiscal year 2022 appropriations process. As a reminder, fiscal year 2022 began on October 1st of 2021. The federal government is currently operating under a continuing resolution until February 18th, and Congress is gearing up to extend the continuing resolution until mid-March. A promising sign is that the House and Senate negotiators announced yesterday that they have reached an agreement on top-line spending levels for fiscal year 2022, and those top-line levels would provide a year-on-year increase in defense and non-defense funding. These negotiators are optimistic that they will complete fiscal 2022 appropriations by mid-March. And as a reminder, the completion of the fiscal 2022 appropriations process is necessary for NIU's two congressionally directed spending projects to receive their funding, totaling $1.16 million. While Congress is working on fiscal year 2022, the fiscal year 2023 appropriations process is starting. President Biden's fiscal 23 president's budget request is expected to be released in early March, following his annual State of the Union address on March 1st. Congress has announced its intention to hold a congressionally directed funding process again this year, but they have not released further details this time. And to close, I'll quickly mention an engagement highlight. In November, President Freeman submitted public comments to the Department of Homeland Security in support of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, policy. And a link to her public comments is available in this quarter's Federal Relations Report. So thank you so much for your time today, and I apologize for the technical complications, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions or comments for Dr. Kleider?
Is there, this is Montel, is there any movement on DACA?
So the reason that the Department of Homeland Security has released, they've released a notice of proposed rulemaking because they are attempting to further codify the DACA program. And so there is an effort within the administration to try to create an even more formal structure for the DACA program. Also, something that was mentioned, something that's being talked about now in the bill is whether they can revive comprehensive immigration reform as an issue. So I haven't seen any proposals on that or what would be included, but there are some Republican members in the House who are interested in trying to find a bipartisan path forward on comprehensive immigration reform.
Thank you.
Are there any? I'm sorry.
It sounded like you said that there is some bipartisan support on immigration reform. Did I hear that correctly?
There are conversations and hopes for making progress on comprehensive immigration reform. I haven't seen any proposals. I haven't seen any bipartisan working groups convened. This is just some, it was reported last week that there are some Republican members who are starting to make some noise about wanting to work for a bipartisan comprehensive immigration reform package. But again, nothing, there's no legislative text, there's no working group to go to for that kind of thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any further questions or comments? If not, we want to thank you very much for your report, Dr. Kleider.
Thank you so much.
Moving along, we already talked about item 7C, and so on item 8. Are there any other matters to come before the committee? If not, our next meeting, the next meeting of this committee will be May 12, 2022. And now may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Gales.
Second, Wadsworth.
Jessica, would you please call the roll?
Committee Vice Chair Athos?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard?
Yes.
Trustee Jacob Somner? Board Chair Eric Wasowick?
Yes.
Committee Chair Veronica Ferrero?
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.